Everybody. So glad that you're here today. Thank you very much for your attendance. So welcome back to those who traveled and came back for the Thanksgiving holiday. Some are not with us yet. We pray for them that they'll make it back to us nice and safe. You know, one of the things I enjoy most about holiday breaks like the one we've just had, I enjoy not having to stress so much about the timing of things. It's nice not to have to worry about getting to bed right on time. It's nice, really nice, not to have to worry about getting the kids in bed and getting them up for school. It's really, really nice, like happened one or two times on this recent break, to go to bed and not even have to worry about setting your alarm. That's a good day when you can go to sleep and it doesn't matter what time you wake up the next morning. I knew I was going to wake up and plenty of time to be productive on those days, but I didn't stress about it. And that's a really, really good benefit of having breaks like the one we've just enjoyed. And of course, all things have to come to an end. And this is kind of the end of that nice block of not having to worry so much about when you go to bed and when you get up and what time you have to be certain places, because tomorrow things start all over again. And I'm reminded about something the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 13. You may see a portion of that on the screen here. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse number 11, the Apostle Paul says, tonight's not one of those nights you can go to bed and not set your alarm for the next day. Tonight is not that night, because he says it's time, it's high time to do some things. And in the verses that follow here in Romans 13, 11, 12, 13, Paul is going to tell us some things that we need to make sure that we do. It is high time, he says, number one, to wake up out of sleep. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, it is past the time that we take things seriously. The word that Paul uses here for sleep is hypnos. Sounds a little bit like the word hypnotize, hypnosis, and that's kind of what it means. Paul is describing a state of conformity, a slumber, not really sound asleep, you know, dead to the world asleep, but kind of a daze, a daze that is more characteristic of people than not. This is the opposite of the alertness that Peter tells us we need to have. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, when Peter says we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8, this is the opposite of that. Do you remember previously in Romans chapter 12, when the Apostle Paul says that he is begging us, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then very famously in verse 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul has this to say, do not be conformed to this world. That's the kind of thing that he's telling us we need to avoid, that conformity. Just kind of going along path of least resistance style, we know that there is danger. I'm not overstating it when I say danger. We know there is danger in doing that sort of thing. There were a lot of circumstances at play the night that Peter denied Jesus. You recall that, Matthew chapter 28. We think about that as a significant point in Peter's life often. I do. I come back to it quite a lot, because Peter was otherwise a very dedicated, very engaged, very well-taught follower of Christ. And to see him so remarkably fall off the wagon and just devolve into a person who at the end of the night claimed no knowledge of Jesus, to juxtapose those two Peters is a very good lesson. Well, there were a lot of forces at play the night that Peter denied Jesus once, twice, three times, in spite of all the warnings. And one of those factors at play was this kind of conformity, this kind of slumber, this kind of inalertness. Peter wasn't on guard. Interestingly, Peter, maybe it's a bit ironic, I suppose. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Peter is the one who tells us that we need to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, he's always on the hunt for us. What did Peter lack in Matthew chapter 28 when he denied Jesus? Matthew chapter 26 when he denied Jesus. What did Peter lack on that fateful night? Well, what Peter lacked was this sobriety. What Peter lacked was this alertness. What Peter lacked was this awareness that he is being hunted by the devil. That's what Peter lacked. And so years later, Peter comes with inspired teaching that is reinforced, no doubt, by his own personal experience. And Peter says, here's what you need to do. You need to make sure that you are always on guard. And that's what Paul is reminding us here. When we look at Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 13, Paul is telling us that there is a danger that comes from our casual approach to things. We need to make sure that we're not conforming to the world. This is why it's very tragic and very, very hazardous for us to take a look at our lives and contrast those with other people. You know, this is a tendency that we have to judge ourselves by ourselves. And this is something that the Bible lets us know we need to stop and stop fast, because it's not, am I better than the person next to me? It's not, am I more alert than the people next to me? It's not a measure of, are my kids better than the kids that they go to school with? It's not that. That's not the way the judgment's being made. It is, are we pleasing the Lord? Are we pleasing the Lord? And you don't know what the Lord wants out of you by looking at the parents of the kids who go to school with your kids. You don't know what the Lord wants out of you by doing that. You don't know what the Lord wants out of you by looking at the person next to you, or thinking about the people who aren't here today. That's not how we learn and know what the Lord wants us to do. We learn and know what the Lord wants us to do by looking at His Word, the Bible, here. And that's why Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't pay it too much attention. Sure, we're here. We're bound by these dimensions. We're bound by time. That is a constraining characteristic of our physical lives here. We have these sort of things that we have to conform to, but Paul is saying, you know, beyond that, we need to live transformed lives. Don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the thing. The mind is the thing that's going to keep us connected to God. So if we let that go, if we let that go in a direction that it shouldn't go, garbage in, garbage out sort of thing, if we let that go, well then, we're going to be quite hazardous. It's going to be very dangerous for our soul. Dangerous. Just like it was for Peter. Just like it was for others in the Bible who lived in this world but allowed too much of the world to seep into their lives. I'm thinking about Lot and his family. They lived in a wicked, wicked place, and they could have overcome that situation, but they lost the dedication. They did not stay on high alert, and so they dropped their guard. And Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities, took advantage. Peter, that night he betrayed Jesus, dropped his guard, and those around him took advantage. Peter wasn't on high alert. He conformed too much to his surroundings, and that's dangerous. And so The Apostle Paul says, it's time to set your alarm and give yourself a note that you better quit doing that. We have to stop. We have to stop underestimating the devil. He wants to devour us. Always has. Now, the devil is a smart being. He's not as smart as God, that's for sure. But the devil is smart, and he knows that if he doesn't trick us, he's never going to win. So he appears, we see him in action here in Genesis chapter 3, approaching Eve and enticing her and luring her away. We see that. And the way the devil works that situation out is by being deceitful, by being tricky. The truth of the matter is he didn't care one bit about Eve. The truth of the matter is he just wanted Eve to be separated from God. That's the bottom line. But, of course, the devil doesn't tell any of that to Eve. The devil pretends that he does care about Eve. The devil pretends to have her interest in mind. You know, if you ate of this fruit, Eve, it would make you really, really smart and wise, and that's a good thing for you. So the devil pretends that he cares about Eve. He really doesn't, not at all, but that's the way he masquerades around, and he'll do the same thing to us. You know, he will pretend to care about us. He will pretend to not want us to be unpopular. He will pretend to want us to be included and accepted, and the moment we buy into that, watch out, because we have started that period of slumber that the Apostle Paul tells us we need to watch out for. It's time to wake up out of this sleep, Paul says. It's time to cast off the works of darkness, he goes on to say. Paul says, night is far spent, the day is at hand. This is verse 12, Romans chapter 13, verse 12, and Paul's describing the condition of our mortality. The day is coming. That's a reference to judgment. And it's coming time that we're going to have to be productive and accountable. Our life is a vapor. It's a short thing. We may have many more years of life yet to live, or maybe not. You know, we just don't know. But Paul says salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. One thing's for sure is that we have never been closer to the judgment day than we are right now. And if we wake up and see tomorrow, same thing will be true then as now. We will never be closer than we are at that moment. Sometimes when we take a long road trip, the kids used to ask, how much farther? How much are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know that. And sometimes my response has been, we've never been closer. You know, we've never been closer than we are right now. We're as close on this trip, we're as close as we've ever been to Grandma's house. And on this trip through life, we are as close as we have ever been to seeing the Lord come again. I don't know when it will happen, and here's something that you need to keep in mind. Nobody knows when it will happen, so don't believe people when they say they know when the Lord will come. He tells us that His coming will be unknown to people who are here on earth. But here's what we can say about it. It's certainly going to happen. That's one. And we've never been closer to it than we are right now. That's two. The Lord will come again. And when He does, there's going to be an accounting. So why not begin that process now? Don't wait. In fact, it's too late to wait. To try to get your life right when Jesus comes again, You won't have time to do that. You have to be ready for when He comes, because when He comes, all opportunity ends, time stops, judgment begins, eternity follows, and Paul says all of that happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. So here Paul lets us know that it's time to cast off the works of darkness. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is real. This is serious. We make sure that we live our lives with the understanding that there is no do-overs. Grace is a beautiful thing, and grace will help get us through this life that we're living. But the Lord expects us to make progress. The Lord expects us to get better. The Lord expects us to stop certain behaviors, to start certain behaviors. If you want a list of some of these works of darkness that might be included in what Paul's saying, take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, where the Apostle Paul talks about those who were filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. It goes on and on. Paul, again, is the writer of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, where he enumerates the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are these, he says, Galatians 5:19, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, evil ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and, Paul says, such like. Things that are related to, but not exactly on the list. The Apostle Paul says all of these things must be put off. I love the way the writer of Hebrews talks about sin and our journey to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, we find that we must lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily ensnare us or beset us, some translations say. So the writers are all in full agreement that sin is not going to be tolerated by God. He loves us. He offers salvation to us. But the time for us to make sure that we're living that way that He wants us to live, that time is right now. We can't put it off. We mustn't delay. We can't go to heaven with the sins that so easily ensnare or beset us. We need to make sure that we get rid of all of those things. And that's what Paul says it's time to do. Set an alarm if you need to. Make sure that you know that it's time to cast off these works of darkness. Romans chapter 13, verse number 12. And then Paul says next, it's time to put on the armor of light. I love here how darkness and light are contrasted. This is a frequent thing in Scripture, where on the one hand we have works of darkness, and on the other hand we have works of light and brightness. That's the way that goes. You know, there are any number of options people with free moral agency, which we all have, can choose. We can choose to be in darkness, or we can choose to be in light. And one thing that is really remarkable about the Christian life that I want you to know about is it's not defined by the bad things we've quit doing. There are a whole lot of people who want it to be that way. You know, they want to talk about the bad things, the really, really bad things that they've stopped doing. I've stopped using foul language. I've stopped drugs or alcohol. I've stopped being violent. I've stopped all of these things. Great, great to do. But one is not a Christian by default. As a matter of fact, one is outside of Christ by default. Sin separates us from God. So once we reach the age of accountability, we fall. We are not saved. We are lost. Once we've reached the age of accountability and sin is laid to our charge. And so we don't change from that situation by just getting rid of the bad things. That's not the way it works. Now, the Bible lets us know that getting rid of those bad things is an essential first step. But it's just that. It's just a first step. Because we go on to read about the things that we need to add to our lives. And Paul introduces us to that concept here. Where on the one hand we're getting rid of the bad things, but on the other hand we're adding good things to our lives. And that's what makes us a Christian. The good things that we've added to our lives in place of the bad things that we've gotten rid of, that's what makes us a Christian. Reading our Bibles, worshiping the Lord, serving Him daily, those active ingredients, that's what makes us a Christian. Peter talks to us about that in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he gives us these lovely Christian graces that we need to add to our lives. We need to add this, add this, add this, he goes on to say in that long list, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11 there. So we are a Christian by the things that we do, not by the things that we no longer do. We are a Christian by how active we are in our faith, not by how passive we are to evil things. So Paul says it's time to cast off the works of darkness. That's a big, big part in the combo that we're talking about here. But he also says that it's time to put on the armor of light. That's the second, that's the important, essential ingredient to follow through. And he says, Romans 12, 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in lewdness, not in drunkenness, not in this lethargy that he talked about, the slumber that he previously mentioned to us, not in this conformity to the world. And then Paul says, it's time to put on Christ. I want to end with that thought this morning. It's time to put on Christ. Putting on Christ is absolutely essential to one's salvation, because until and unless we've done that, we're outside of Christ. And the Bible lets us know outside of Christ is hopeless. In Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in Christ is where all spiritual blessings are. In Christ is where redemption is, Ephesians 1, 7. In Christ is where we have an inheritance that is heavenly. All of these things are in Christ. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And the way we get in Christ is by putting Him on in baptism. Galatians 3:27 connects these dots for us and lets us know, as many of us as have put on Christ or in Christ, as many of us as have been baptized have put on Christ. Now we are in Christ. It's time for you to do that today. And if we can help you in any way this morning, we would love that opportunity. You can hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We'll be glad to assist you with that. If you just want to talk more about this plan of salvation with us, we would love to study it right from the Bible. And so you can see from God, this is His plan. This is what He says all of us must do. Now, to the many who have already done that, that's terrific. We need to make sure that we are staying as faithful to the Lord as we should. Like we talked about in this sermon, that we are on high alert to the things that we need to do as Christians, that we're putting those things first in our lives, recognizing them as the most important things for us to do If we do everything else and fail to honor God, we've messed up big time. And we're going to be lost. This is our time to set things right. If we can help you this morning, please let us know how while we respond to this invitation. Won't you come while we stand and sing, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.